A large portion of the American population today feels that America is heading in the wrong direction. Now, some view this as perhaps a fulfillment of prophecy that we're doomed, so why even fight it? But we don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know some scholars even believe, well, what if it's 100 years from now? If Christians just abandon our role as salt and light in society, then what kind of society will we leave for our children and grandchildren? That's an important question. Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller is a pastor in the greater Los Angeles area. He and his wife have 3 adult children and 8 grandchildren. And Phil Hotzenpiller is the author of a book called It's Midnight in America. Dennis Prager says of his book that America has lost its way because America has abandoned the Bible. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And one thing I want to say about this book is that while diagnosing the problems, it also offers, quote unquote, practical solutions, offering a roadmap to reignite your faith and purpose. Pastor, it's good to have you back on the program in the first place, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, and I don't know a topic more relevant than what's happening in America and how it's spread globally, the unrest, the confusion, and hopefully my book will help people navigate through some of that and indeed find hope and find courage in the middle of the challenges of today.
Sure. Now, one of the things I think we really need to pray about and see, Lord willing, would be the mobilization of more Christians to be engaged in the culture. As your book, you know, mentions, you know, we need to have our faith reignited, our purposes, you know, reignited under God, and we need these practical solutions. For example, there are Christians, professing Christians, who aren't even registered to vote. And they're not even voting. Well, voting is like a minimal thing to do, right?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, I think the challenge, and I want to keep driving this home, the challenge is not so much with Christians. It's really with leadership and the lack of, I'm just going to call strong leadership, whether it's on a ministry or whether it's in a local church, to really lead people in the direction of courage and also providing hope. You know, we live in uncertain times, and we're not the first generation that has, but certainly this is a time that God has given us. We have a problem to solve, and we can't solve it by sitting on the sidelines or being inactive, as you say, whether it's in the political arena or whether it's sharing our faith in the world around us.
Okay, so that's interesting. You just referred to indirectly salt and light, which is what Jesus told us to be, salt and light. The salt is kind of engaging the culture, and the light is sharing the gospel.
Well, exactly. And, you know, one of the things that we found, our church during the pandemic chose to stay open, and that was in disregard to our governor strong-arming the churches to try to close. Most of them did. In fact, less than 10% of California churches stayed open during that time.
Right. Weren't you guys even labeled as non-essential? Liquor stores, those were essential, but casinos, maybe those were essential, but not churches. Amazing.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And I think the problem was not with congregants. It was really with pastors who chose to not stay open and not to stand, number one, on constitutional right. Number two, stand on the word of God that says only God is God and Caesar is not God. And, of course, we were the first state to have the shelter-in-place order put on us and a lot of restrictions as other states. But we chose that to do that because we felt like it was a courageous act that was in line with not only our Constitution, but more importantly, with the Word of God.
And what happened to you? I know in some cases some churches were fined terribly.
We were not fined. We were raided by OSHA. We were got orders and different threats from the health organization here. Orange County is a little bit easier than Los Angeles. A good friend of mine, Pastor Cheon at Harvest Rock Church, their church was fined on a daily. He, along with other churches, pursued legal action against the state and that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they won that case. And this is what churches can do. So what I do in my book is I take the first chapter and give you an overview of what we did, why we did it, and I believe in some ways it can be a roadmap for other churches in the future.
That's good. So we do need to fight back. You know, it's true that Jesus could come on Thursday, or he could come today, but it's also true he could come a long time from now. And so what kind of world do we want to leave for our children and grandchildren when you think about it, really?
Yeah, and what I try to do is I try to make it practical. When you say the book of Revelation or you think end-time prophecy, the average Christian is really not prepared to answer that question. What I try to do is make it simple, make it straightforward. I've got a few diagrams and illustrations that really kind of help put the Bible in perspective. And I really talk about one really important chapter is called the prophetic clock. And what I do is I talk about when that clock began to tick, which I believe was 1948. And we see about 10 unfolding prophetic things happening since 1948, about seven of which have already been fulfilled. So if you can look at a timeline, you can look at culture, you can look at history, and you can look at your Bible at the same time, then it's very comforting to know that God is actually engaging in society, in your world, in your culture.
Were you surprised at all by the aftermath of the October 7th attack in Israel, the way so many people, I mean, even at Harvard and, you know, other prestigious institutions in America, there was this, you know, burgeoning anti-Semitism, almost to the point where some people, some fellow Americans, don't think Israel has the right to even exist or to defend itself. This is shocking to me.
Yeah, it's really not shocking to me. Anti-Semitism has been around a long, long time. We know of it mostly from Adolf Hitler, but remember that was fueled by Martin Luther. He was a Lutheran, but former Catholic, and he fueled anti-Semitism and said, in fact, that all Jews should be driven out or killed. So this is not new. The fact that, you know, prestigious or once prestigious institutions like Harvard took that stand does not shock me. Remember that this is the big challenge. The Great Tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is really a time for the Jews primarily to be softened and to be brought back into the kingdom of God. So these things are very predictable. If you know your Bible, you're not shocked. You know that it's uneasy, it's unsettling, but it's not to me shocking or unpredictable.
I do want to push back a little bit on the Luther thing, if you would, if you don't mind. First of all, it's certainly true that Hitler would take whatever he could at his hands to advance his terrible purposes. But Dr. Richard Weikart, a professor, in fact, at a state college there in California, who wrote the very scholarly book, it's an excellent book called From Darwin to Hitler, said that basically what Hitler and the Nazis were trying to do was to create a master race and to weed out those who were undesirables. The Jews were at the top of the list. So Luther, for example, if a Jew were to convert, then Luther would be happy. But if the Jew continued to reject Jesus, you know, then he thought they should be punished or whatever. But that's up to God, not up to us. But with Hitler, a Jew couldn't do anything, to be redeemed because they were viewed as biologically undesirable. Same with the gypsies and so forth. But of course, they killed a lot more Jews than gypsies because that's who they had available to kill at that time. So anyway, I just wanted to push back on that. But in the meantime, what would you say that we can do to mobilize more Christians in society? We have supposedly lots and lots of Americans that profess to be Christians, but where are they sometimes, you know, when we see the culture going to Hades in a handbasket?
Well, I'm going to go back to what I said previously. You know, we just had Charlie Kirk in our church last week, and we raised quite a firestorm. We got I've had about 50 Google alerts in the last 7 days. Because of things that we talked about, but I really went to the heart of the issue. It goes back to the shepherds. You know, the Bible says that if you've run with men and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you fall down, how are you doing in the jungles of the Jordan? Well, the problem is that shepherds aren't preparing their people to run with horses. They're not preparing their people in the jungles. And if you're not standing, Pastor, then your people are not going to stand. They're not going to know where to go. We had so many new people come into our church because they said, our church is closed, our pastor won't stand. And remember, this is a dress rehearsal. That's the first chapter in my book. It's called This is a Dress Rehearsal. This is only the beginning of what's happening. This is the easiest part of what the future looks like. And if we don't recognize that, then we're going to be up a creek pretty quick. Now, one of the things that I do in this chapter, it's a chapter called America Needs More Blacksmiths. And it really goes back to the time of the Philistines when they took all the blacksmith out of Israel and they forced Israel into basically bondage because they had no weapons. And really, the weapons of our warfare today are things like free speech, the power of God, Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And we have to rely on that. We need more blacksmiths to recapture the weapons taken by the enemy, and let's use them for the glory of God.
Excellent. So that's a very interesting point. Now, when you say you had all these Google alerts, I imagine you've been accused of being, quote unquote, a Christian nationalist or something like that. What are your thoughts? What happens when you get accused, truly or falsely? You know, how do you deal with it?
I think it's wonderful. I smile at every one of them. I believe that if I'm in the battle, I'm going to get shot at, hit, accused of something. I just don't want to be shot at and accused of doing nothing. And I think most people are more content to be doing nothing rather than being criticized. And so I love it. Some very notable Christian publications were some of the ones that took a shot at both Charlie and myself, but I'm fine with that. I think that's, you know, what the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. Jesus said, they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And whenever you stand for anything that's, let's call it even mildly controversial, you're gonna find your opponents. Another interesting thing is politics. You know, we have pastors who won't speak about politics whatsoever, and yet I say the Bible is the most political book on the face of the earth. Every single major leader in the Word of God had to confront, deal with, and oppose ruling entities, whether it was Pharaoh, whether it was Nero, whether it was Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter who they were. Every page is filled with a political intrigue going on and this battle for good against evil that's been entrusted in the co-laborers, that is the believers, in Jesus Christ.
Was there a particular event that made you think, oh, I got to write a book about this, and this is the book?
Well, you know, my previous book, which was a bestseller, was called One Nation Without Law. And I wrote that coming out of a interview I was doing, actually a show I did on the world on the History Channel. And they asked me, what scares you? And I said, when lawlessness marches down Main Street unabated. And so I wrote the book. It reads like it was written during the BLM riots. And then so during the plandemic, I like to call it, I really had this idea that we are on the precipice of midnight. We are hanging on the cliff, so to speak. And what do we need to do? The most often question I get about prophecy is, where is America in biblical prophecy? Obviously, most of my contacts, friends, and speaking events are in America. And so I wanted to go in and do a fresh dive into that. If you Google it, you'll notice that everyone says, well, they're not. America's not mentioned, or they gave it up.
We have 30 seconds left. 30 seconds left. Go ahead.
And so in my book, I lay out exactly where America is in biblical prophecy. So I got to get the book to find out.
And what is a website for the book or for your ministry?
You can go right. The easiest way is go to Amazon and order it straight from there.
It's Midnight in America. Boy, well recommended book, including a recommendation by my good friend Bill Federer. Thank you so much, Phil. All the best.
All right. Best to you. Thank you.